Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And I really do hope that it's food for you. I'm not saying a 10-course banquet or something like that, but God's Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. God loves you. He wants to feed you on His Word, because His Word is true. You don't say, oh, that was somebody's opinion. God's Word is true. And as I've said to you before, I pray that we all, including myself, can meet one day in heaven. Please, brothers and sisters, God has life everlasting for us if we follow Him now. Think of that. No, I don't want to die. No, we're, of course not, because all we know is life here. And life here can be good, it can be bad, it can be difficult, it can be challenging. But in heaven, there's peace and joy and gladness. God wants to give us that world. So let's listen to His Word and let's follow Him. This is the feast of St. Junipero Serra. He was a native of Majorca, departed Spain for the Franciscan missions of the New World. Among the missionaries, he stood out for his intelligence, his deep love of the church, his willingness to suffer so that the gospel might be preached. After teaching among the natives of the Sierra Gorda Indian Mission, he requested the assignment to the Pacific Coast. And can you imagine, this is the 1700s now. In California is my life, and there, God willing, I hope to die. For 15 years, Junipero traveled up and down the coast on foot. Think of that, traveled up and down the coast on foot, bringing the sacraments to the scattered native tribes, establishing missions as he went. He died at Mission Carmel in 1784, was canonized September 23, 2015, Junipero Serra. Many of us have the opportunity to speak and preach God's Word in many countries, in different places. Are we true to our Word? Are we preaching what we live? Please, brothers and sisters, let's become again one mind, one heart, to really seriously follow the Lord as Junipero Serra did. We look now to the readings for today. The first is from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verse 1b, b as in b, to 19. God put Abraham to the test. He called to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. And then God said, take your son Isaac, your only one whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a burnt offering on a height that I will point out to you. Early the next morning, Abraham saddled his donkey, took with him his son Isaac, and the two of his servants as well. And with the wood that he had cut for the burnt offering, he set out for the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham got sight of the place from afar. Then he said to his servants, both of you stay here with the donkey while the boy and I go on over yonder. We will worship and then come back to you. Thereupon Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two walked on together, Isaac spoke to his father Abraham. Father, he said. Yes, son, he replied. Isaac continued, here are the fire and the wood, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering? Son, Abraham answered, God himself will provide the sheep for the burnt offering. And then the two continued to going forward. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Next, he tied up his son Isaac and put him on the top of the wood on the altar. Then he reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. Can you imagine? He was willing to follow the Lord even to that point. But the Lord's messenger called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he said. "Do not lay your hand on the boy," said the messenger. "Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." As Abraham looked about, he spied a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the site Yahweh Yireh. Hence, people now say, "On the mountain, the Lord will see." Again, the Lord's messenger called to Abraham from heaven and said, "I swear by myself, says the Lord, that because you acted as you did in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies, and in your descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All this because you obeyed my command." Abraham then returned to his servants, and they set out together for Beersheba, where Abraham made his home. God tested him, brothers and sisters, but he was obedient to the Lord. And then we have Psalm 115. "I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Because of your kindness, because of your truth, why should the pagans say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in heaven. Whatever he wills, he does. The idols are silver and gold, the handiwork of men. They have mouths but speak not. They have eyes but see not. They have ears but hear not. They have noses but smell not. Their makers shall be like them, everyone who trusts in them. The house of Israel trusts in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." Brothers and sisters, just for a moment, I want to say to you, it's fine to trust in people, but not more than you trust God. It's fine to put trust in people, but these people were looking for somebody to take the place of the Lord. That's what we don't want to do. We want to trust the Lord and follow him. Ask his saints to help us. But, oh, brothers and sisters, trust your Lord and tell him you trust him. Ask for help to all the saints, to all the angels, but most of all, to your loving Father in heaven. Do it always. Include all of them always. God loves you. He's given you quite an entourage of people to help you. You can't see them, but they're there. They're here working on your behalf. Let's take a look now at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 1 to 8. After entering a boat, Jesus made the crossing and came into his own town. And there people brought to him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Courage, child, your sins are forgiven." At that, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." Jesus knew what they were thinking and said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home." He rose and went home. When the crowds saw this, they were struck with awe and glorified God who had given such authority to men. It's out of this that our priests can hear our confessions. Take blessing. Receive blessing. Don't turn away from the confessional. You draw closer and closer to God. Really. It's embarrassing, but the priest isn't even seeing you. You've got a screen in between them. It's dark. He's not looking for you. He's just listening to what you say. Bring your sins to the Lord, because God wants you to have a free conscience. And he wants you someday to rise and pick up your stretcher and go home. He rose and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were struck with awe and glorified God who had given such authority to men. Think of that. That's why your priests study so much. That's why they're overwhelmed at times. But they want to serve you well. They're seeking to serve you well. So pray for your priests. They've got a very, very important role in the life of the church, in your life and in mine. Pray for them. If possible, just to say a simple prayer once a day for them. That would be a great blessing to the priests. Start with the priests of your diocese. And then you can do it any way you want. But I'd say start with your diocese for the next year and just pray for the priests. God loves them. I looked at this reading from St. Anthony of Padua, and I want to share just a portion of it with you. He writes, "Humility, poverty, patience, and obedience are the four who bring the soul as it lies helpless to Jesus. The roof is a fourfold one, pride, avarice, stubbornness, and anger, covering and obscuring the face of the soul so that it cannot see the light of justice. This roof is opened by the four virtues mentioned. Thus they can let down before Jesus, trusting in his mercy both soul and body. No one can come to Jesus unless he is carried by these four virtues. And the four virtues are this: courage, humility, poverty, patience, and obedience. They're hard ones to work on, but brothers and sisters, take one at a time. Humility, be willing to acknowledge your mistakes. Poverty, to indicate to other people, I'm sorry, I'm poor, not even financially poor, but I'm poor in my thoughts. Please help me. And obedience, that I want to follow you, Lord, closer every day. Please have the grace to ask God for help for that, and he will give it to you. St. Anthony also said, "To believe in God is, by believing, to love him, to go to him, to adhere to him, and to be incorporated into his members. Where there is this sort of faith, there is trust in God's mercy, and there is remission of sin." God abundantly loves you. Do you know that? He does. Love him in return, and may God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.